Hello there, Las Vegas and Palm Springs. Guess who? This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, coming at you live from Las Vegas, 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks, also 98.1 FM in Palm Springs, our sister city in the Coachella Valley. And if you're listening online, you're doing so at 790talknow.com. And Wayne is still in Asia. I think he's flying back today, but he will be back in this chair on Monday from 3 to 6. So you have me all day today from 3 to 6, as you've had all week, and tomorrow 3 to 6. So make sure you tune in. Today, we've got a great show. I'm really excited about this show, as well as tomorrow's show, too, because most of the guys that I met at CPAC, and women, most of the people I met at CPAC, couldn't do some interviews right away because, you know, you get back from CPAC, you're busy, you're shaking hands, kissing babies, doing that whole thing, and then you have a bunch of work to get back to. So let me tell you the lineup we have today. 3:30, about a half hour, Dr. Herb London, president of the London Center for Policy Research and author of the new book, Leading from Behind, the Obama Doctrine and the U.S. Retreat from International Affairs. We're going to talk about, well, probably a lot of things, but I think we're going to kick it off with his take on the joint address to Congress. Then at 5:05, one of my favorite people, I met him 9 years ago at CPAC. He was one of my first people I met, first introductions, and that is Bill Whittle. And if you don't know Bill Whittle, you want to know Bill Whittle. He is a sage. He is a wealth of knowledge. He has a great philosophy. He understands the left. He understands and can clearly communicate in the most simplest of ways conservative ideals and ideas. And you can check out his work on YouTube. He has a Bill Whittle station. And so we'll get into some of his latest work. You can find him at BillWhittle.com if you'd like to look him up before he comes on at 5. And then at 5:30, this is so cool. I am so excited to talk to this guy. And as a matter of fact, I met him in the baggage line at Southwest Airlines as we were both leaving Baltimore. And then I ran into him again at the restaurant while we were both waiting for our planes to take off in a thunderstorm. And his name is Larry Klayman. Now, I don't know if you know Larry, but Larry founded Judicial Watch, and he is chairman of Freedom Watch. And if it weren't for Judicial Watch, we wouldn't have half the dirt on the Clinton dynasty. We wouldn't have half the dirt on Hillary Clinton herself and her server. And we wouldn't have half the dirt on the corruption, fraud, abuse, and graft that seems to be inherent throughout the Democrat Party, the DNC. So Larry and I are going to have our first discussion. You know, we had a friendly discussion and exchanged business cards, and he agreed to come on the show today at 5:30. So Dr. Herb London, Bill Whittle, and Larry Klayman, a trifecta of conservative talk. So we're lucky to have them all. But let's get to some breaking news. Now, for those that may have been at work or not glued to the TV or as politically whacked out as I am, Jeff Sessions recused himself today from any investigation related to the absolute false accusations that were created by the previous administration and the deep state that Donald Trump and his surrogates collaborated and conspired with Putin and the Russians to hand Donald Trump the presidency. And I watched the press conference, and we have a couple cuts for you that I'll play here shortly from the press conference. But when you understand the context by which Jeff Sessions gave his answers to the committee for his after his nomination and for his confirmation, then you'll understand his answers. And yet you have Nancy Pelosi calling for his resignation, and you have Chuck Schumer calling for his resignation, and you have all of these snakes on the left calling for his resignation. And this is another political assassination contrived and carried out by the Democrats. Their first victim in the Trump administration was Michael Flynn. Okay, now their second victim they want is Jeff Sessions. And when you look at how they're picking off the people within the Trump administration, it's all by design. It's all Alinsky tactics 101. They picked off Mike Flynn because he questioned the deep state. And we know that the deep state is infected with Marxists and lackeys from the Obama administration. And what they're doing is trying to create this false, or they're creating this false narrative, which is carried through as truth by the propaganda press, the prostitutes and the propaganda press, as fact, when in fact it's fiction. And so they set up Mike Flynn as their first target and took him down. And now they're trying to set up Jeff Sessions because Jeff Sessions is responsible for law and order. And they don't like those two things very much. And Jeff Sessions is also responsible to head up voter fraud investigations and sex trafficking investigations, and they don't want that happening either. But the main prize is Donald Trump himself. And through various ways, they will try to get at him in order to further discredit him, further undermine him, in order to call for impeachment, because their goal is to overthrow him and his administration. Make no mistake about it. They're yearning for the power to achieve their fundamental transformation of this country. And they will do anything and stop at nothing to get it. So don't think for 1 minute that these types of Alinsky tactics are going to stop. They're actually going to get louder and louder, aided and abetted by the prostitutes in the media, like the New York Times, as I think it's Michael Savage calls it, the New York Slimes. The New York Times will run with stories, unsubstantiated, anonymous sources, and they'll report them as fact. Well, why don't these cowards go on the record? Wouldn't they then be the true heroes? I mean, if there was really treason going on within the Trump administration, or if there was really seditious types of practices, or if truly the Trump administration had conspired with the Russians, then go on the record. Be the savior of the Democrat Party. Be the savior of this country. But yet they hide like the cockroaches and rats that they are. But we're going to continue to shine a light. And the truth is the light. And we'll always get to the bottom of the truth. The truth will always win the day. Justice will be served. And the wheels of justice move slow. And Jeff Sessions, if you ask me, I don't agree necessarily with his recusal. But from a legal standpoint, I do. Because with an ongoing FBI investigation going on in this supposed and manufactured Russian-Trump relationship that supposedly threw the election, he, campaigning for Trump, and as a part of his campaign, if you want to call him a surrogate, that's fine. Well, then, legally and according to the ethics of the law, not that the Democrats give a flying fig about ethics, but according to ethics and standards and integrity, he recused himself. Okay. So he's not going to be involved with this witch hunt that the Democrats are on. He's going to step out of the target of the crosshairs and hopefully get on with business, because we're all waiting, and I'm waiting with bated breath for him to get his deputy assigned and confirmed. I'm waiting for his confirmation. We need to have a full administration with people in place in order to really have the means by which then we turn the tables on the rats in the Democrat Party. Because if they think for 1 minute that they're dealing with a chump, they're wrong. They're dealing with Trump. And Trump isn't going to take it. He's not going to give them three strikes. He's going to come out swinging. And I don't know if they've crossed the line yet with him, but I think they're getting awfully dangerously close. And the information that he has related to what the DNC has been doing, and many high administration officials within the DNC, will bring the DNC down. I know that. There are a lot of things going on that Donald Trump could use in his arsenal against the DNC. Why not? Why not reopen the investigation into Hillary Clinton, huh? Why not? Why not open a sex trafficking investigation into the likes of Jeffrey Epstein, because we do know, and we have pretty good evidence, that there is a pedophile ring going on in D.C. And don't think that there are some people in the highest places of power that don't swing in that ring. So we can play their game, but we can play it by law and order. And I'll be back to play some more on 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, after this break. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, live from Las Vegas, and also 98.1 FM in Palm Springs. So I was watching Neil Cavuto today, and I love Neil Cavuto, and he had a full recording of the exchange between Al Franken, the senator that stole the Minnesota election from Norm Coleman, by 600 votes, and Jeff Sessions at his confirmation hearing. Now, I missed the first couple seconds of it, but basically, let me premise it for you. Now, Al Franken starts by saying, you know, Senator Sessions, I'm sorry, but, you know, there's breaking news. It's just coming in. It's from CNN. And so I know you're not prepared, you know, for maybe the following questions. But, you know, it has been said, and according to reports in the New York Times, that, you know, there was definitely collusion, you know, perhaps between you as a surrogate of the Trump administration and, you know, the Russian government or Russian ambassadors. You know, and I'd like you to comment on that. So I'm going to play this recording for you, as long as my phone works. I've got it, Charlie G, on my phone. Yeah. So I'm going to play this recording for you, and then I want you to hear. And if you watched the exchange too, you can see the surprise on Jeff Sessions' face, and it's more than surprise. It's kind of like, what in the hell are you talking about? So here we go. Or maybe not. Just a moment. Just one moment. I just got it. There we go. Well, it's not going to work for me right now. But basically what it is, so Al Franken is talking about breaking news. Breaking news. And he wants Jeff Sessions, in a moment's notice, to respond to these outrageous allegations that he's inadvertently or, quite frankly, directly referring to. So Jeff took the stage today, and I'm gonna have Charlie play for you a couple cuts so you can get caught up with what's going on with Jeff Sessions and his recusal. Let's go to cut 9.
And the idea that I was part of a, quote, continuing exchange of information during the campaign between Trump surrogates and intermediaries for the Russian government is totally false. That is the question that Senator Franken asked me at the hearing, and that's what got my attention as he noted it was just breaking news. And it got my attention, and that is the question I responded to. I did not respond by referring to the two meetings, one very brief after a speech, and one with two of my senior staffers, professional staffers, with the Russian ambassador in Washington, where no such things were discussed. In my reply to the question, of Senator Franken was honest and correct as I understood it at the time. I appreciate that some have taken the view that this was a false comment. That is not my intent. That is not correct. I will write the Judiciary Committee soon, today or tomorrow, to explain this testimony for the record.
You know, this is such a nothing burger. But yet the Democrats and the prostitutes and the press are carrying this like it's the biggest espionage story since Watergate. And let's not forget, Attorney General Jeff Sessions sat on the Armed Services Committee, like many other senators. And guess what? Their job is to meet with foreign ambassadors. That's what their job is. So he met with ambassadors from Russia and Ukraine and Hungary and Lithuania and Latvia, and the list goes on and on. But yet the Democrats need another target. They need to get as close to their main target, Donald Trump, as they can. And they're gunning for his cabinet. So let's go to cut 10 and listen to Jeff's recusal.
My staff recommended recusal. They said that since I had involvement with the campaign, I should not be involved in any campaign investigation. I have studied the rules and considered their comments and evaluation. I believe those recommendations are right and just. Therefore, I have recused myself in the matters that deal with the Trump campaign. The exact language of that recusal is in the press release that we will give to you. I've said this, quote, I have now decided to recuse myself from any existing or future investigations of any matter relating in any way to the campaigns for President of the United States. I went on to say this announcement should not be interpreted as confirmation of the existence of any investigation or suggestive of the scope of any such investigation, because we in the Department of Justice resist confirming or denying the very existence of investigation. So, in the end, I have followed the right procedure just as I promised the committee I would, just as I believe any good attorney general should do. And a proper decision, I believe, has been reached.
Now, this morning, Claire McCaskill, I think she's a senator from Missouri, if I'm correct, big tub of goo. She tweets out, I've been on the Armed Services Committee for 10 years. No call or meeting with Russian ambassador, ever. Ambassadors call members of Foreign Relations Committee. Well, Charles Cook went back into her Twitter timeline and found this. From January 30th, 2013. Off to meeting with Russian ambassador, upset about the arbitrary cruel decision to end all U.S. adoptions, even those in process. So Claire lied. Let's go to, so that, never met with anyone ever, never met with a Russian ambassador ever. Well, as a matter of fact, Claire, you met with the Russian ambassador in 2013 to talk about adoptions. Was that just for the children? The old Democrat canard. Again, Claire McCaskill. August 6th, 2015. So just a couple years ago, maybe she's got amnesia. Today, calls with British, Russian, and German ambassadors, Iran deal. Hashtag, doing my homework. Which brings me to my next point. That Iran deal, done in a clandestine manner, where billions of dollars of unmarked bills were sent in the middle of the night in payment as ransom for hostages. The deal was set up by the Obama lackeys and the Obama administration, and no one really knew about it. Is anyone calling for Claire McCaskill's resignation? Why not? Is anyone calling for Hillary Clinton to be marched in front of a committee and asked her what type of deals she was doing with Iran? Nope. How about Chuckie Schumer? Anyone calling for his resignation? Because he's talked to the Russians too, and I can guarantee you he was talking to the Russians when this Iranian deal, which allows basically a fast path to a nuke Iran within 10 years, given to us by the Obama administration and dropped on our laps. So Claire McCaskill supposedly this morning never talked to Russian ambassadors. She wants you to be that stupid. The Democrats need us to be uninformed. They rely on our stupidity. And that's why you listen here, because we're not stupid and we don't lie and we got the truth. And the truth is coming up after this break. Along with Herb London. You're not going to want to miss him. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now. Talk that rocks. Welcome back. Welcome back, Las Vegas and Palm Springs. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, also 98.1 FM in Palm Springs. Well, I'm excited to have my next guest on the line. I've heard him with Wayne Allen Root. He's a fantastic interview. His name is Dr. Herb London. He was responsible for creating the Gallatin School of Individualized Study in 1972 and was its dean until 1992. The school was organized to promote the study of great books and classic texts. Dr. Herb London is a graduate of Columbia University, 1960, and the recipient of a PhD from New York University. Dr. London's most noted is a noted social critic whose work has appeared in every major newspaper and journal in the country. He is author and editor of 27 books and 3 plays. His latest book is called Leading from Behind, The Obama Doctrine and the U.S. Retreat from International Affairs, and you can find that on Amazon. Hi, Dr. London. Good to talk to you.
Well, pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much for that kind introduction.
Absolutely, absolutely. 27 books. My gosh, you're a busy man.
Actually, it's 30, but no counting. It doesn't make any difference.
Just got to update your bio. So the top of this cut sheet that I have here for you, the interview sheet, is called Democrats Acting Badly. And, you know, that's a nice way to say that they're acting very seditious. And I'm watching what they're doing to the Trump cabinet, picking people off one by one. The latest target, Jeff Sessions. And I wanted to get your commentary on the breaking news that Jeff Sessions did recuse himself from this whole Russian canard that's been created by Obama operatives, as well as the deep state, and carried through by the press. I'd just like your 2 cents on that.
Well, this is false news. There's no question that what you have is a hardcore left in the United States that is intent on demonizing Donald Trump and this presidency. This is a different Democratic Party from the party that I once knew. It is not a Scoop Jackson party. It is not an FDR party. It is not a Truman party. It is not a JFK party. It is a very, very different organization, thoroughly radicalized, outside the mainstream of American life, very different from what we've experienced even as late as 10 years ago. There's no doubt that the Democratic Party today not only wants to undermine Trump, but sees itself as the legitimate heir to the presidency. As a consequence, it will do whatever it believes necessary, including using President Obama to organize various groups around the United States in order to delegitimize what Donald Trump is all about. I regard this as very different from what other presidents have done, and a very dangerous attitude that is now very much out there in American life.
Well, we never had a community organizer in the White House until Obama, and I didn't expect him to go off and paint with watercolor or oil like George W. Bush or go back to the ranch like Ronald Reagan. So I wasn't surprised when he decided to take up a $5 million manse right around the corner from the White House and use his OFA army, Organizing for America, in order to undermine this presidency.
He's got $60 million to do
right.
It. He's getting that as an advance, so-called advance for the book. It's more than an advance. No one gets $60 million for a book. Obviously, this is for a campaign. And the campaign is, again, the anti-Trump campaign. That's what it's all about.
You know, I was going to say, what is it going to take to cut off the George Soros money? But, you know, because he's funding a lot of what I would consider domestic terror networks throughout the U.S., as well as the anarchists and rioters that we see from one town to another. I believe that most of his 501c3s or 4s as well are, but there's like 200 of them in the United States, are used for seditious purposes. Is there like an act of Congress that we can at least do to cut off some of the money that goes into undermining and overthrowing our republic?
Well, if you provide evidence of sedition, there's no question there's an awful lot you can do. The question, however, is that we live in a litigious age. Simply making accusations of that kind is not sufficient. You've got to provide evidence. And the other side has a lot of money to put into legal activities. And so a case of that kind would be held up in the courts for years. Mr. Soros is in his late 80s, probably early 90s. He's not going to live much longer. So you're not going to do very much with Soros. What you've got to do is the organizations that Soros created.
Right.
And again, you have to be able to demonstrate that these are really acts of sedition. Not an easy thing to prove.
Oh, what about like domestic terrorism, where he's actually funding rioters and such to, you know?
Well, there are a lot of professional protesters who are out there. Yes, that is true. And again, I'm a little surprised that more hasn't been done in that case.
Right.
But keep in mind that the press has not followed through on any of these matters. I've seen these buses go up to 57th Street and Madison Avenue. They park there, and then these people walk over to Fifth Avenue and demonstrate in front of Trump Tower. Now, if you look at the buses they're in, these are like the buses of rock stars. You say, how is it that these average folks manage to get buses of that kind? Well, again, you'd probably have to look for the source of that money, and it might very well be George Soros. But the key to all of this is getting the investigatory activity on the part of the press looking into matters of this kind. And the press is not on our side. The press is clearly designed, is organized to do everything that it can to try and hurt the Trump presidency. So again, you know, this is a very, very difficult set of conditions.
So, and I agree with you. So I've never seen this type of behavior from an outgoing president, from a Democrat party. And they are definitely gunning for the goal to, I would say, overthrow the Trump administration with result of impeachment, because that's really what they want in order to, you know, win the election that they so poorly lost. What is Trump's defense?
Well, the Trump's defense
and
is
offense.
To ignore all of this and to go ahead with the policies that make a difference. Look, if Trump can do two things, introduce growth rate in the United States at 4% of GDP, and at the same time create a level of stability in areas of the world that have known nothing but instability over the last 8 years, he'll go down as a great president, and he won't have to worry about the Democrats. And if, in fact, the Democrats continue to move in this radical direction, with Perez and Ellison leading the party, two of the most radical of the Democrats in the United States, there is no doubt that the Democrats will be a marginalized party. So Trump, if he conducts himself properly, does not engage in the bombast, does not rise to the bait as these new challenges emerge, he will be regarded as a great president, meeting the goals that I've just suggested.
So that's basically a defense and offense. So his offense
that's
is
correct.
The best defense,
I mean,
his
look,
defense is the best offense.
The best defense is a great offense.
Right.
Make America great again, his commentary. If you do that, you don't have anything to worry about, because there are many people sitting on the sidelines now who are looking for a president who could provide some sort of guidance. Look, we've gone through a difficult period. The average guy, look at Mary and John Q. Public. They, for 8 years, have been wondering, what's going on in Washington? We have a president who's preoccupied with where I urinate. They don't worry about my welfare. They worry about the welfare of Black Lives Matter. They don't worry about my welfare. They worry about LGBT community. They don't worry about my welfare. They worry about all of these extremes, these exceptions to American life. We are the people who fight our wars, pay our taxes, take care of our kids, worry about our schools. And they, those guys in K Street, they don't worry about us. They just want to line their pockets with as much money as they can. Now you have someone who represents the voice of those people. Ironically, it's a billionaire who has captivated America by suggesting, you know something, there are people out there who have been left behind in the Schumpeterian equation. These are the people who are the detritus, the people who have been left behind in this equation. Sure, technology has improved many American lives, but it's also left a lot of people behind. So if you were working at Bethlehem Steel and you're 55 years old and you got three kids to support and you had a job that paid $45 an hour and now you're earning $14 an hour, if you're lucky to get a position at Walmart's, you're not a happy camper. And not only you're not a happy camper, you're resentful. And resentful that the guys in Washington have no understanding or appreciation of the plight that you're in. And that is where America stands today. You get more of those people gravitating to Donald Trump. He doesn't have to worry about George Soros or President Obama or Hillary Clinton or anyone else. He will be regarded as a very successful president.
Amen to that. Dr. London, I cannot wait to interview you again, but that music means that our time is over. But I appreciate your insight.
No question. Happy to be with you at any time point. And send my best to Wayne when you see him.
I sure will. And you can find Dr. London at the following address, londoncenter.org, or on Twitter at @TheLCPR. Check him out. What a great interview. I wish I had more time. This is Megan Barth, Reagan Baby, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now. Talk that rocks. Welcome back, Las Vegas and Palm Springs. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now. Talk that rocks. 98.1 FM in Palm Springs. What a great interview. I wish I had more time with Herb London, but I'm going to have him back maybe as early as next week. I'd like to actually have two segments with him. 30 books? Are you kidding me? I can hardly read one book, and he's written 30. So I've got a printout here from the Daily Caller. I grabbed it today as part of my show prep for you all. And the headline says, Obama sabotaged Trump's transition to the White House. I mean, is this a shocker? You know, if you missed the Herb London interview, now Obama and his wife got a $60 million advance on a book or two, right? Who gets $60 million? So the Obamas are flushed with cash. They've got a very long email list. They've got a very huge organization called Organizing for America, and they are going to try to sabotage and undermine the Trump presidency just a few miles away from our White House. So the story from the Daily Caller says, President Trump's claims that the Obama administration sought to undermine his presidency received some support on Wednesday from a New York Times report on the Obama White House activities in the weeks before the inauguration. According to the Times, Obama White House officials waged a campaign to procure, save, and disperse classified intelligence regarding Trump associates and contacts with the Russians. The campaign also involved curtailing the Trump team's access to highly classified information and of lowering classification ratings on other information about the ongoing Russia investigation so that it could be more widely shared across the government. Is that something that would be called handling classified information in an extremely careless manner? According to the Times sources, the Obama officials waged the campaign out of fear that the Trump administration would cover up or destroy some of the information. You know, destroy information. We're lucky that we even found out about Hillary Clinton's server. And thank God to Judicial Watch, we did. And I'll be interviewing the founder of Judicial Watch, Larry Klayman, at 5:30. So I want you to stay tuned because he fought with the Clinton administration through multiple lawsuits. And because of his organization, we find out plenty of dirt on the Democrat Party. But we can't be surprised. But we can't also be surprised at the outright hypocrisy of the demands of the DNC and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer calling for Jeff Sessions' resignation. Where were they calling for the resignation of Eric Holder? Eric Holder, the very first attorney general in history to be held in contempt of Congress. Eric Holder, the same Eric Holder who ran guns across the southern border in Fast and Furious in order to create a gun violence problem. Gun violence. I hate that term. It's gang violence. A gun violence problem. So they could enact stricter gun enforcement laws, infringing on our Second Amendment. The same Eric Holder who gave a pass to the Black Panthers when they stood in front of a Philadelphia polling place intimidating voters with billy clubs. But that type of behavior is okay as long as their comrades and their party are undermining the Constitution and the rule of law. I remember reading a book by J. Christian Adams, and it was called Injustice: Exposing the Radical Agenda of the Obama Justice Department. And as all of this crap is flying around today and all the accusations levied towards Trump and Jeff Sessions based in absolutely zero fact, I wanted to get down to give you some facts regarding Eric Holder and what J. Christian Adams had witnessed as he sat in the DOJ under Eric Holder. And the title is, What's in Eric Holder's Wallet? His Real Race Card. And this was published on July 12th of 2013 in a story in PJ Media. And this is an excerpt from his book. For much of his life, Attorney General Eric Holder carried around something peculiar. While most people keep cash, family photos, and credit cards in their wallets, Holder revealed to a reporter in 1996 that he keeps with him an old clipping of a quote from Harlem preacher Reverend Samuel Proctor. Holder put the clipping in his wallet in 1971 when he was studying history at Columbia University and kept it in wallet after wallet over the ensuing decades. What were Proctor's words that Holder found so compelling? Blackness is another issue entirely apart from class in America. No matter how affluent, educated, and mobile a black person becomes, his race defines him more particularly than anything else. Black people have a common cause that requires attending to, and this cause does not allow for the rigid class separation that is the luxury of American whites. There is a sense in which every black man is as far from liberation as the weakest one, if his weakness is attributable to racial injustice. When asked to explain the passage, Holder replied, "It really says that I'm not the tall U.S. attorney, I'm not the thin United States attorney, I am the black United States attorney." And he was saying that no matter how successful you are, there's a common cause that bonds the black United States attorney with the black criminal or the black doctor with the black homeless person. Has anyone ever asked Eric Holder what exactly is the common cause that binds the black attorney general and the black criminal? More important, what should the black attorney general do about this common cause? Should the black criminal feel empathy for the black attorney general? Or more? Likely, do the favors only flow in one direction? Holder's explanation of Proctor's quote offers some key insights into our attorney general's worldview, first being more particular than anything else. Skin color limits and defines Americans. In other words, race comes first to Holder. And that was our attorney general for years. Blind justice? I don't think so. This is social justice. And within the confines and the cancer that social justice is, you don't find blind justice. So for the Democrats to demand that Jeff Sessions resign, he did the classy thing, and I guess the ethical thing, and he recused himself. And thank God I'm not president, for many reasons. Because I would tell them to go stick it where the sun don't shine. And the sun's going to shine right after this break, because we'll be back with the truth. And the truth is always the light that shines. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. I'm going to get used to that soon. Maybe not. 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, and we'll be right back.